Good morning, everybody. Happy new week. Hope you're doing amazing. I am super, super, super excited to be sitting next to one of my authors that I've known now for a few years. She's been in our community. She's based up on the Gold Coast, aren't you, Jodi?
I am.
You are. And with my other residents, and I've met you a couple of times in real life at some of our authors' lunches. So good morning and thank you so much for coming and making it to this interview, which has been a bit of a journey, hasn't it?
It has. It has very much so.
You persisted, and that's what matters most is that you're, let me put my live is going on my phone. So to make sure I can see any comments or interaction and we can reply to people as we're live streaming. But if you're watching this on a recording, then stay tuned because today we're talking about the book called Seeds of Suicide. I'll show you guys on the screen just a bit closer up. There it is, A Daughter's Perspective. And Jodi Murray is the author of this book. She's got her proof copy there right next to her. Show us. It's beautiful. And it's just been released for bulk distribution, if you like. You'll be able to find it on Amazon and all of your good online resellers. But we'll share also Jodi's website later on in this interview for some more information. But more importantly, let me do the official introduction of who Jodi is, and then we can talk a little bit about the content, what prompted her to write this book, how the book writing process was, and all that sort of stuff. All right, so Jodi Murray is the author of Seeds of Suicide. Jodi has written this book as her mother committed suicide in 1999, leaving her feeling abandoned, isolated, and traumatized. After many years of dealing with the consequential effects of this and encountering her own life experiences that resulted in Jodi needing to manage the complexities of CPTSD, she has decided to document the perceptual strategies that she has utilized to improve the relationship with herself and her relations with others. Jodi does not have formal psychological qualifications, but the strategies that she presents concentrate on human behaviors and perceptions that every individual can adopt to help themselves and others to overcome a multitude of general mental health and relational challenges. All right, and as we said just before we got on the live, Seeds of Suicide actually is an acronym for SOS to humanity, which is really cool, Jodi. So please, enlighten me, how long had you been thinking about writing the book, because obviously this has been a 24-year journey since that event.
Yes, actually probably longer than that. Throughout my whole life, I've been told that perhaps I should be writing a book on my life.
Yeah.
Which sort of became more interesting when I decided that I wouldn't suicide anymore. I unfortunately got to see some siblings left because their parents suicided. Mm-hmm. So I'm aware of some of the questions that they're going to have going through their mind. Mm-hmm. And just in general, life just seems so complex and heavy that the suicide rates are increasing all the time. Yeah. And I just don't think that it should take us 50 years or so to realise that life didn't need to be quite as difficult as we made it. Yes, there's complexities in life. Yes, there are challenges, many of which I document my challenges in the book in an attempt to show that regardless of what's going on, we do have more control than what we seem to realise.
Mm.
It's our perspective in life and how we feel about ourselves is integral in making our journey a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So basically it's to try and concentrate on the powers that we have ourselves. So yeah. I'm aware that sometimes we may not have a door to walk out of. Sometimes we may not be able to get out that door. There's other times where reaching out just becomes too overwhelming for people. So, yes, I understand that there's psychologists, psychiatrists, there's a lot of help out there.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we get into what I refer to as a suicide default position, reaching out is no longer an option for us. So I'd like to make people more aware of the powers that we have within ourselves without anything else around us. So, yes, I recommend that you utilize whatever you require in order to help your own mental health fitness. So I'm not saying don't reach out. I'm saying when we can't reach out, sometimes we need to look at what we have as individuals and our impact. And I just don't think that we empower our children enough on being a human being. So I think probably the neon sign in front of us is look at the bullying in school. Now, for me, going through the bullying, I've been in basically what I call the three positions. I've been the bully. I've bullied and I've seen the effects of bullying and I've been bullied. So I don't understand why after so many generations of humans going through the educational system, we all know once we get out of school that the bully was actually probably the weaker individual. However, when we're in school, the perception that we have is that bully is the strongest, the most popular. So to me, I'm finding it frustrating as a human being that it is us as human beings creating the problem. We research it. The effects of bullying are well documented, yet there isn't a child that doesn't go through the school system, that doesn't get exposed to it in one way, shape or form. So
is that the three seats that are on your cover? Like, is that what they represent or is there a different representation to those three seats? I'm curious.
It's more to represent that we have a generational impact.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I did not realize the impact that my life has just by existing, let alone if I'm actually out there and deliberately having some say over my impact. So for me, I guess I wasn't told as a child how to be a human being, and I've only been able to find one person when I asked them the question, were you taught to be a human being? So not to endure life, but to actively participate in your own life and what you put out there. Most people sort of think it's a bit of a strange question, but then they go, well, no, I wasn't really taught to be a human being. So it's like we're enduring our existence rather than being active in it. If we realise that just by existing, we have an impact. And whatever we do, so if we decide, some of my life has resulted in me not having children. So it doesn't automatically now mean that I don't have a generational impact. I do have, by not having children, I'm having a generational impact. However, now I get to choose that I'm going to be vulnerable enough that I'm going to put it here, and this can be my impact if the world wishes to receive it.
I love that, and thank you for putting it out there. I hope that today's interview or whoever gets this, you know, it would help someone, it would save someone's life, you know, because that will certainly have an impact on a lot of families and people all around that particular person. So what do you hope, what will people get from reading the book? Tell me a little bit more.
They'll get an insight that possibly some of their skeletons aren't quite as enormous as what they thought. I did have one person say it's a bit of an eye-opener. So obviously talking about suicide and the heaviness of life, it's difficult to make it a fun story. However, I have tried my damnedest to make it not too depressing a book. So yes, you've got some fairly nasty life exposures, But I tried to not make it too depressing or too, I try to put a little bit of humour in there, which is the way I try, I endeavour to look at a lot of my situations now. So the first part of the book is heavily about my mother's suicide, which obviously affected me greatly, and in hindsight really changed the direction of my life. Any parent that wishes to tell me that they believe taking their life would improve their child's life in any way, shape or form, I do encourage them to reach out, because I'm pretty sure that most of your justifications could quickly be negated, even if you are not a superb parent. Mm. I understand all parents make mistakes because we are human. We need to show our children those mistakes.
Mm.
We need to be vulnerable, not to be soft, more so to let our children know that life happens.
Yeah.
One of the things that I try to refer to at the end of the book is age appropriate. There are so many things that we try to do to keep our children's innocence, okay? And I'm finding that all of these efforts to keep our children's innocence is being negated by the automatic exposure that our children have these days. So as soon as your child is leaving your home, that innocence is starting to be taken away. We can't expose children to the enormity of information that they are exposed to these days without also starting to understand that some of the fantasies, the world truths that we're told as children that we all know and not really truths as we get older. So we're delivering a hypocritical message to our children. We say to them, don't lie. We say, you know, you need to be a good person. So obviously the most popular one that I'm talking about is, for example, Christmas.
I do not,
it's not that I'm trying to negate Christmas or religion, anything like that. However, to me, Christmas has become more of a, basically a commercial enterprise. Okay. The problem with where it's got to and the world that we now live in is if you have Johnny down the street who's been a good child all year, hasn't bullied, has shown, done all the right things, strived to the best of his ability, and yet then you've got Larry up the other end of the street who is a bully, who has gone out and committed crimes, who's been disrespectful to his parents. Now, the only difference in what they receive at Christmas is actually their family's financial status. Okay, so little Johnny being an awesome kid got nothing because his parents aren't financially up there. And then you've got Larry who displayed all of the things that we don't want them to display, but he got everything. So where does Johnny get the benefit of being a good person? He actually feels disadvantaged by being a good person. So we're giving them the actual opposite message of their contribution and the enormity of their contribution. So I still believe, yes, by all means, go out, celebrate the time and everything, but perhaps we could start to make it more about community, more about being kind to yourself. So really, that time of year should not matter. It shouldn't matter what your financial status is.
Yeah.
It should be remembering that everybody has got a complex and individual journey, and at that time, it's one of the times per year that we go out and we go, let's all just get together. So, you know, community gatherings down at the park or going into old age homes and giving, or there's so many options that we can do to just reflect on the state of humanity at that time of year rather than feeding into the commercialism. So not that I'm trying to be the Christmas Grinch or anything, but that's just an example. So
example, yeah.
It's more about our contribution as individuals and humans. The problem with our world today is that everything appears as if it's more important than us. So everything external to us has become more important than our own existence. So I think that's the wrong message. I think that disempowers us as individuals. Now, if we haven't had perhaps the best examples of resilience growing up, we're just feeding into it. The further it goes on, the older people get, we're just feeding into being disempowered.
Yeah.
We need people to have power. We need people to not be worried about being anxious, not be worried about being scared. At the same time, you don't feed into the fear. But if we understand the complexities of our own emotions and we're able to sit back and take a look at our behaviours and learn that there's an emotion behind every behaviour that we have.
Yeah. Where do you think people should start? Like, where do you think people should start, you know, to make these shifts? You know, you talk about human psychology, and I know that you're not a psychologist, as we've said in your introduction. But what is it, you know, that, you know, parents should do or exposure? So what are some of your things that would shift a little bit of that generational impact?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. So at the moment, I do have I have a support role with these six children that I was talking about that have been left. And for me, that's, they are beautiful children. They are intelligent children. But basically what I try to say is, if something is going on in a child's life, rather than going, no, look, they're too young to know about that. Basically, if it's happening, we need to be talking to our children about it. We seem to have this perspective on mental health that we don't have mental health until something goes wrong. Okay, so it's almost like we have divided the human being into two different sections. Yeah, we've got our physical health, and you only experience mental health when it all goes wrong.
Yeah.
That's what makes us as a human being. We consist of all of that together. So quite frankly, if your children is feeling emotions, that's the time to start talking about emotions and how we react. For so long, I thought maybe I'd dealt with my mum's death, where I'd only dealt with parts of it. The rest of it was really, okay, bravado, let's keep moving on and basically keep myself busy. Don't have 2 minutes to really think about yourself and keep trudging through. All that's done is created a huge mess along the way that I then have to deal with. I mean, I don't think it's natural for humans to want to take their own life. And on my journey, quite frankly, at the start of my journey, I did not believe in suicide. My first questions around my first suicide exposure was, who the hell does this? Seriously, like, who even thinks about taking their own life? And now, so many years later, I actually got myself into it. So I've done the complete 360 on suicide.
Yeah.
I've gone from going, who does this? This is not natural, to being in the seat going, I finally understand now, to coming back to an area now where I go, I guess I have an understanding around the subject. I still do not believe that it is natural for a human being to be able to take their own life.
Yeah.
Not all of us, I know, can take our own life. Something that I try to stay away from in the book is statistics. However, I did look up Black Dog, which is a well-known organisation in Australia. Now, the figures on how many people actually commit suicide is around 8.5. But there's 65,000 attempts. Now, those 65,000 suicide attempts, I would imagine one, not all of them are discovered. So we could probably inflate that number even more.
When
so
you, is it 8% or what? What's the eight?
Oh, eight people per day.
Per day? Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So now if there's people that are actually dying.
And this is in Australia, yeah?
In Australia. That's only in Australia.
Okay. I'm just clarifying the statistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do try to stay away from the statistics because, one, they change. Two, if we've got anybody wanting to take their own life, it's really one too many.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we've got 65,000 suicide attempts means that we're doing something wrong. We need to acknowledge that what we're doing when it comes to mental health and trying to preserve innocence, and it's not working. I feel so heartbroken when I hear out of a child's mouth that they should go and kill themselves. Being a child, I mean, we're trying to preserve innocence, yet we've got children trying to kill themselves.
Yeah.
We can't have it both ways, people. We seriously can't have it both ways. If we have got children that are wanting, even thinking about taking their own life, let alone being successful, what we're doing is not working.
Yeah.
So to me, we're a very reactive society. We wait until a problem gets really big or everybody's up in arms about it, and then we react with whatever we think basically ticks the boxes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say, can we please start teaching our little human beings what it is to be a human? We all know we've now had generations of humans.
Yeah.
Yet the state of our mental health around the world is being obliterated, basically.
Yeah.
If our suicide rate is increasing, we are doing something wrong. Now, the problem is once we find suicide, once we get to that position where we wish to take our own life, I have found what happens is you almost go into a suicide default position. So, yes, we can muster through society, we can get through our days, we can achieve in our jobs, we can do all of that.
Mm.
But at the back of our mind, as soon as it all gets too heavy, we will go to the suicide default position.
Mm.
And that is so exhausting. It is absolutely exhausting. So just because somebody's not out there and displaying the signs of it, I mean, one of the things that we have that most people would be aware with is, are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I do believe you should be checking in on people. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying please don't ask people if they're okay. However, being experienced in being suicidal and putting on a strong front, I can almost guarantee you that if during my hardest times you had come to me and said, are you okay? I would have told you I was fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Because when I'm in that position, the one thing that I'm trying to not show is my vulnerabilities. So when you ask me if I'm okay, I'm going to assure you that I am, and then possibly go out the side door and get on with my plans.
Mm.
So although I love the fact that we have a whole lot of mental health awareness these days, I feel like the mental health movement has left behind some of the most vulnerable in our society. It's now become so complex that they go, okay, what are my options? They'll look up things and they go, I can't, it's just too much, I can't do this. So basically, when we get to the point of suicide, we are in overload of emotional overwhelm. And I'm trying.
What should someone do if they're in that position?
Realize that it's yet just another emotion. As humans, we seem very greedy in the fact that we are happy to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we feel unhappy, if we feel unaccepted, if we feel embarrassed, if we feel humiliated, we feel like we shouldn't be feeling those.
Yeah.
We are humans. We are made up of an array of emotions, and they are all natural.
Yeah.
Our emotions are there to talk to us, to tell us, and be our guides in life. However, we just seem to endure them. We're happy to take the happy ones, and we're not so happy to take the unhappy ones.
You won't be able to recognize the happy ones unless you have the opposite side of the spectrum.
And that's just right. So, I mean, throughout my life, you know, there's been things like don't be a princess, suck it up, princess, get on with it. A person that I try to help, one of the things that they say to me is, she goes, okay, I know, I just need to toughen up. And it makes me cringe when I hear that. No, I don't want you to toughen up. However, if we can put things into perspective, we don't need to be tough or soft. We just need to realize that there is always more than one perspective available.
Absolutely.
So no matter what's going on in our life, there is always more than one perspective available if we wish to apply a consciousness to that perspective.
I agree. Yeah. So, Jodie, let's move on to talking about how was the process of writing the book. I mean, it took you a couple of years to pull it all together.
It did. So part of the reason that I joined with you was, one, being such a difficult topic to talk about, and two, really putting myself out there, and thirdly, it's basically, I guess, the first time I've ever backed myself 100% in life. In order to do that, I needed a slight sense of accountability, something that Natasha is right on.
Yeah.
So in joining with you, it was more about keeping myself accountable. Look, this is what I've done. This is what I've committed to. So now I must go through it. Admittedly, there were times where it was like, why am I doing this? I just had to keep going back and remembering that if I found it so difficult, and, you know, I know people have seen me as strong, intelligent, mature, and I made an absolute mess of many of the decisions that I made.
Yeah.
Taking me into the wrong places. So that accountability to you and the program made me keep going.
And I'm really proud of what you've achieved. Even you've got a poster there behind you, and it's your bookmark that people get with the book when they get it. You know, something
that's the bookmark. That's the they are the daily reminders. So although the book goes on about my life, at the end of the book, I try to point out just how integral our emotions are and our sense of self-responsibility, self-awareness. Now, to me, if we are basing our teachings around self-awareness, self-worth, self-discipline, self-responsibility, and self-acceptance, that is how we are going to build resilience in our children.
Yeah.
There's no other way to do it.
It starts.
They need a sense of self.
Like they say, be the change you want to see in the world. So
yeah, and it's not easy. It's not easy, people.
No.
But however, the lives that we're putting ourselves through are also not easy. So I guess it's really pick which not easy you'd like to pick.
Yeah, I love it. So where can people get the book? I've got your website. Do you want to tell us what your website is?
Yes, it's jmmurray.com.au.
And so, I'm pulled up on the screen now. So if I can just spell it, it's jmmurray.com.au. People who can see this, obviously they can see it. But if you're listening to this as a podcast, you'll be able to get that there. And even if you go in the shopping area of the website, you can even purchase the poster that's behind it. Yes.
And if you order the book directly from me, you will get a complimentary bookmark that also
has the poster.
Has those reminders.
The daily reminders. That's awesome. That's really cool. So that's the website here on the screen. Also, in a couple of days, guys, the book will be released for international distribution, and you'll be able to find it on all your good online resellers, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, stacks of places. Just have literally put Jodie's name or Seeds of Suicide book And it should pop up in lots of different places to be able to get it. On Jodie's website as well, you can choose if you want a paperback or an ebook, just to gain a lot more insight into this world that she has shared. And yeah, well done on being so brave, and you know, this will start to save people's lives, and that's kind of the intention often for an author, is if I can help one person or I can save someone, one person's life, it'll all be worth it at the end of the day.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for this morning. I know we've started off with a sensitive topic and something a little bit heavier, but something we need to be aware of, because there's so many different things in life that we need to manage and go through, and, you know, some are happy and some are not happy. And we need to just know the kaleidoscope of all of the different feelings and emotions that we can go through that and make us up as human beings. And yes, I believe human behavior and human psychology should be taught to children from day dot, and not just reading maths and spelling.
Let's stop sending our children out into the war without protection. Let's start
building
resilience through them understanding their emotions and their reactive emissions.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you, Jodie. Have an amazing day, everybody, and get out there and smash out this next week. Talk soon. Bye.